Now in verse 3, and the priest shall look on the plague of the skin of the flesh. Now you see, there's no rash judgment made. This thing was handled carefully and over a period of time. When the hair in the plague is turned white and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now, if a man goes in, he has this breaking out on his skin, and the priest puts him up for certain days. He looks at that carefully, and all of a sudden it begins to disappear. He dismisses him. But suppose that the hair that's in that rising turns white, that's becoming dead. It shows that this thing is beneath the skin, and then the thing begins to manifest itself in an angry way. Then he knows he's in trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a pretty good examination of us spiritually, by the way. He's the great physician, as we said, and he brought us into his clinic. And you know what he said about you and me? He says, their throat is an open sepulcher. Oh, that's awful. Talk about spiritual halitosis. With their tongues, they've used deceit. And what does your doctor do when you go to him? My doctor, when I go to him, he says, open your mouth. And he looks at my throat. The great physician does, too. He says their throat is an open sepulcher. What's the second thing your doctor does? Mine says, stick out your tongue. Well, a great physician does that. With their tongues, they've used deceit. The easiest thing in the world for man to do today is to lie. And David said, I said in my haste, all men are lies. Old Dr. Carroll one time said in class, he said, I've had a long time to think it over, and I still agree with David. And the poison of asp is under their lips. He probes in the mouth, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their way. When God says all have sinned, he means that all of us are unclean in his sight, and we're spiritual lepers, and he's not running a leper calling in heaven. He cures them before you get there. And leprosy, by the way, is an accurate picture of sin in many ways. The Scofield Bible lists three ways, and I'm going to add to that. Let me mention the three they have. First, it's in the blood. Second, it becomes overt in loathsome ways. And we had a drunk that came in off the street, and he sat in the warm auditorium, and all of a sudden he collapsed and fell out of the seat. They had to call the ambulance, and the time the ambulance got here, he was a mess, friends. May I say to you, sin is loathsome in many ways, and it's in the blood. We inherit it. We are sinners by nature. And then, third, it's incurable by human means. That, of course, is not exactly accurate. It wasn't accurate then, and it's not accurate today. But it certainly reveals that it's a horrible disease, and it is a fitting type of sin. And as Kellogg wrote, from among all diseases, leprosy has been selected by the Holy Spirit to stand as the supreme type of sin as seen by God. Then I'd like to add now some other ways. It begins in a small way, a rising or a scab or a bright spot. And finally, it'll deliver a death-dealing blow. And what's at first very small becomes a very frightful and dreadful thing. Lepers in most countries today are isolated from the populace and are segregated in hospitals or colonies. Now, most of us who have viewed pictures brought home by missionaries from Africa or Asia or some other place have seen how repulsive leprosy can be. A missionary, by the way, of a century ago, William Thompson, in The Land and the Book, has this, and I'm quoting, as I was approaching Jerusalem, I was startled by the sudden apparition of a crowd of beggars, sans eyes, that is, without eyes, without nose, without hair, without everything. They held up their handless arms. Unearthly sounds gurgle through their throats without palates. In a word, I was horrified. You know, sin seems to be so infinitesimal in a little child. But finally it breaks out on a campus. And then it goes into the world. And before long, you have a great sinner. After all, Lenin and Stalin and Hitler were one time little babies. And they started off all right. And by the way, unless little Willie's disciplined and is led to a saving knowledge of Christ, he's going to be a holy terrorist someday. And they are today. Talk about juvenile delinquents. We've got adult delinquents today, but they were little babies at one time. Then there's a fifth thing about leprosy. Leprosy not only progresses slowly from a small beginning, but it progresses surely. From just a little beginning, it advances steadily to a tragic crisis. Dr. Thompson again describes it. He says it comes on by degrees in different parts of the body. The hair falls from the head and eyebrows. The nails loosen, decay, and drop off. Joint after joint of the fingers and toes shrink up and slowly fall away. The gums are absorbed. The teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. And finally, the wretched victim sinks into the earth and disappears. Well, that's what sin is. God says in Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die." James puts it in James 1:15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Leprosy is a living death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Like leprosy, sin destroys the whole man. Both are corrosive in their effect, working slowly and surely until finally they break out in an angry display that eventuates in death. No man ever went wrong overnight. Leprosy does not kill in a day. It's not like a heart attack. That's the way sin is. The leper, walking dead, zombies, if you please. Oh, Paul says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And final, desperate and inescapable end of sin and leprosy's death. Then there is the sixth thing about leprosy. It's not a disease which produces sharp and unbearable pain as do some other diseases. Leprosy keeps the man sad and restless. Likewise, sin produces a restlessness and sadness in a man that's evident in our contemporary culture. I remember reading the account of this Suzuki, and I forget her last name. It just occurred to me about her. She is a little Japanese girl, very attractive, that became a nightclub singer. And she told about singing in the nightclubs and said the people before her, the women, had on mink and ermine, and that the men with them attempting to spend money. Her comment was, "None of them are happy." Walking zombies, if you please. Suffering from an awful case of spiritual leprosy. Got itchy feet. What a picture. The crowds that flock today to the places of amusement, like Hollywood, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Las Vegas. They're not a happy crowd. Have you ever looked at that crowd? I went in one of these places in Las Vegas. We went through there, and my wife told me I ought not to do it, but I walked in one of those places, and man, I've never seen so many of these one-armed bandits that were there. And then I went back, and they were shooting craps on a green felt-covered table. And there was a fella that was sitting there, and I, you know, sticking my nose in where I got no business, I just walked up and looked at him, and I said to him, "You winning?" I wish you could have seen the look on his face. He looked like that he was attending the funeral of his mother-in-law, the way the fellow looked, and he just grunted at me, and I saw I wasn't wanted, so I walked out of the place. They weren't happy. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't care for that. May I say to you, our freeways and highways are crowded today with cars filled with restless folk going nowhere fast. You see, we are a generation of people with itchy feet. They got leprosy. I tell you, sin's an awful thing. And then it reaches the place where you don't have any feeling. And Paul said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then leprosy, the seventh thing, is thought to be hereditary. Whether it is or not, I'm not raising a medical question. Sin is. When education assumes that the moral nature of man is capable of improvement, traditional Christianity assumes that the moral nature of man is corrupt or absolutely bad. Where it's assumed in education that an outside human agent may be instrumental in the moral improvement of man, in traditional Christianity it's assumed that the agent is God. And even so, the moral nature of man's not improved, but it's exchanged for a new one. What a tremendous statement that is. And then finally, and this is the eighth, leprosy and sin separate from God. You know, it seemed cruel back there that the leper was not only shut out from society, but also from the sanctuary. But it must be remembered that God is holy and the author of righteousness and cleanness, too. Leprosy, I think, is indeed a fitting symbol of sin that separates from God. And I've spent a long time at the beginning of this chapter because it's important, friends, to see the analogy here and get the great spiritual message for us today, because there's not much being said about sin. Our problem is a sin problem.